Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota in Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit Toyota on Nicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at LexusofLexington.com. Did you know that half of America is single? Hollywood has never produced anything like this before. The Dating Project, a groundbreaking documentary that follows five single people, ages 18 to 40, as they search for authentic and meaningful relationships. There is no script. There are no actors. These are real people trying to find love and happiness in an age of swiping left or right. From Empower Pictures, Paulus Productions, Family Theater Productions, and PureFlix, you can now own The Dating Project. Save the date by visiting thedatingprojectmovie.com and go a step further and help others in your circle date differently by partnering with Ascension Press. Visit shop.ascensionpress.com to acquire the companion study guide. The Dating Project Movie is now available on DVD and digital download on Amazon, iTunes, and Walmart. Please visit thedatingprojectmovie.com for details.
Hello and welcome to Real Living. This is Lavinia Spirita with Mary Lou Nemecek, and we are, I think, probably concluding the series that we began a long time ago.
Like, we're not even sure of the date.
In the dark ages, we started. Yes. Once upon a time, we started this series, and now I think we are bringing it to its conclusion. And what we're referring to, of course, is a series that we were doing on the Spiritual Gifts Handbook, written by Randy Clark and Mary Healy. And the subtitle of this book is Using Your Gifts to Build the Kingdom. We decided to go into depth with this kind of concept because it has been our experience that most Catholics, when they think about gifts, they don't think about these gifts. They think about maybe, I don't know, you have a gift for making money. You have a gift for losing weight. You have a gift for playing golf. You have a gift, you know. We think maybe a little bit more in a secular fashion. But really, these are gifts, these spiritual gifts are the gifts that Paul mentions in 1 Corinthians 12 and other places that are given to us so that we can give them away, so that we can serve the body better. So we've been through most of what this book has to say about the spiritual gifts and how to use them. Of course, you know, you can't use them unless you know what they are. And for a lot of people, it's like, this isn't something that's in my, it's not in my wheelhouse. You know, I'm not comfortable with this. What the heck is the gift of prophecy? Healing? Isn't that what saints do when they're dead and they have to canonize them? You know, that kind of thing. So it's very much of a misunderstood area. We were talking during our last show about we talked obviously over endless shows about what the specific gifts were. And in the last show, we began a section on activating the spiritual gifts because of the fact that most Catholics don't know what they are. And once they know what they are, they're almost content to leave them on a shelf because they think they're not worthy, they're not qualified, they don't have a master's in theology, they're not father or cyst, right? Can you think of other obstacles that people have in acknowledging the gifts?
And, you know, they sadly, they don't see the value in using their gifts. And this book hopefully will energize people to do that very thing, because that's what we're made for. So this is nothing new. It's been done in the church since the beginning. It just has been kind of on the shelf, I would say, for many years. And One of the best things about this book is that Randy Clark is not Catholic. Mary Healy is Catholic. So you're getting a wonderful perspective from two different sources.
Both members of the body of Christ, and God knows God uses anybody.
Right.
Because he's, you know, it's pretty amazing what he's been doing with some of us that have been praying for healing in this area recently. We're seeing some pretty amazing, mind-blowing stuff, and we know, I mean, without a shadow of a doubt, I know it has nothing to do with me, nothing, other than I'm the donkey he rode in on, you know, as Randy Clark says. You know, I'm the person who showed up and said, okay, Lord, let's do it, you know, use me. But he's doing it all, you know, and I think that's probably the most reassuring part of activating the gifts. Realizing that, yes, the Lord gives us these gifts, but then it's up to him to activate them. It's up to him to show us how to use them. It's up to him, basically, to do everything else.
Exactly.
All we have to do is say, yes. Yes, Lord, use me. Yes, Lord, I'm going to run this small risk of looking stupid, right, by right. praying for this or that and the other. It might not happen immediately or the way I'm expecting it to or the way the people that I'm praying for will expect it to. But that doesn't mean that God does not answer. So, and I would say that a desire to let the Holy Spirit manifest his supernatural power more freely through us is, in a certain way, also a gift of the Holy Spirit. We wouldn't be attracted to the things of God, to the things of the Holy Spirit, if the Holy Spirit first had not put that desire within us, right? St. Augustine calls it prevenient grace, that desire for the things of God before we even know what they are.
Mm.
Right?
Right.
And in Romans, Paul takes great pains to explain that God does most of the work in our relationship. In other words, he reaches out to us, he saves us, he justifies us, he equips us. And all we have to do is raise our hands and say, here I am. You know that song, here I am, Lord. Here I am. Okay, Lord, what are you going to do? But it's mostly him. It's not us. So that's it's probably a good emphasis, right?
Right.
His will for his church is to be clothed with power from on high, which of course is a quotation from Acts chapter 1, verse 8, where the Lord tells the disciples to go back to Jerusalem, but wait, because you will receive, verse 8, dynamite is the Greek word. You will receive dunamis. You will receive a special, supernatural, explosive, dynamic power. Now, let's kind of look at that definition of the power of every baptized person and look at the kind of power that we actually exercise in our lives. I would say that for most of us, there's a little bit of a disconnect between dynamite, explosive dynamic power, right?
Right.
And just kind of ho-hum, spotty church attendance, checking the boxes, hoping that we get to heaven sort of thing, right? Which right. a lot of Catholics maybe think about that way. Maybe a lot don't. You know, I don't want to, you know, who knows. I'm hoping that everybody's alive in the Holy Spirit and is using the gifts. But the way that we are fully equipped with the gifts from heaven, that's how we manifest God's love, God's presence, and power to this world.
You know, one of the important things that he says, it's that the gifts is not a matter of us mastering a skill. Since the gifts do not function by human power, but by the Holy Spirit's power operating through us. So we don't have to take that course and master these skills,
mm-hmm.
as you were saying earlier. We mm-hmm. have to be open to them and allow the Holy Spirit to work through us through, you know, through God. And
amen.
What more exciting thing can you think of to do than that?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I just want to challenge everybody, be open to it, you know, say yes.
And it is exciting. Yeah. It's so cool. And how do we know it's cool? Do we think, okay, Mary Lou, how much are they paying us to say these things?
Nothing.
You know, it's like, you know, somebody who tunes in might say, what is with these ladies? I mean, what are they on? Are they being told to say this? Are they being paid? No. Basically, we have the same zeal that somebody who has discovered some new great thing has for telling people about it, you know, whether it's a diet or a gym or a clothing store or a trip or an airline or, you know, whatever it is that people rave about. We want to rave about this even more.
Exactly.
because God knows it makes all the difference.
And we understand that the Lord is always seeking us. You know, we've just got to be available. He's there. He's ready to equip us, to use us, whatever it may be. And we just have to take that risk and say yes every day.
Amen. So the first tip, we're just going to backtrack a little bit. The first tip in activating the gifts of the Holy Spirit is knowing that we are already equipped, knowing that if you're baptized and if you're confirmed, which describes most Catholics, at least at this point in time, you have the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But there's always more, right? I mean, that may be the overriding theme of this year for me has been there is more. There's more. Just when we thought we'd seen it all and done it all and seen enough, the Lord constantly is surprising us and blowing our socks off with all kinds of amazing manifestations of love and power through the gifts, especially.
Well, I'd encourage you to be more dependent upon the Holy Spirit. The more you experience that, the more you want. The more you want to rely on the Holy Spirit.
And St. Thomas very clearly said, and there's a great Latin phrase that is not coming to mind, but I think the English translation is, whatever is received according to the capacity of the receiver. Meaning that if you have just now found out about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the Lord is not going to give you the anointing he gave to Padre Pio right off the bat, right? Because you're not equipped to receive that kind of anointing that Padre Pio prayed for and waited for and expected all his life. However, you will get there if you have that kind of expectation and if you want it. So that we are enlarging the capacity of our receivers, right? Instead of limiting them through doubt, through fear, through disbelief, through whatever. Then eventually you come to the point where we just ask the Lord to come and fill us. It's also good to know that we catch the vision when we hang out with other people who have the vision. You know, and oftentimes we receive more of the Holy Spirit when people lay hands and pray for us, according to the biblical model. There's also people laying hands so that you might receive more an anointing in a certain area or another, or an empowerment. The main thing is be radically surrendered and just wait. I just feel like the older I'm getting, the less skeptical and cynical I'm getting, which is funny because apparently, at least what I've been experiencing is you get older, you tend to kind of say, oh yeah, I've seen that. I know what they're thinking, you know, kind of cynically kind of anticipating. Right. But in a way, I feel like a kid in a candy store because I can't wait to see what the Lord is doing next. And oftentimes it's not what I expected. Or oftentimes it is what I was hoping for, but obviously not expecting enough, right? Because my faith is not that good, you know? So we can only cooperate with what the Holy Spirit desires to do through us. So point number one, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Two, stay close to Jesus. This should not be rocket science. If you're asking the Lord to do stuff, you need to stay close to him. And how do you stay close to him? You receive him in the Eucharist. You commune with him daily in prayer. You have an intimacy of a personal relationship that allows us to be his love and his power. So, let's see, who was it who said that being in adoration is like being in front of an X-ray machine?
Exactly.
That even if you're asleep, you're still getting changed.
That's
right. You're still getting affected, you know? So to be with Jesus is like spending time near a nuclear reactor. You cannot not be changed by it. And many ways, praise and worship, studying his word, listening to him and getting to know his voice, repenting whenever we sin, letting him heal us, purifying our motivations, and cut out of our lives all that is not of God. And that is still a painful process. Even the older you get, it may even be more painful because some things you're even more entrenched in.
Right.
Right?
Exactly.
And some things Sister Miriam James, who is a salt sister who does a lot of appearances and speaks and has a podcast and wrote this great book, says that there's a tendency, especially when you're in ministry, to think that somehow you've arrived at a certain point and that you've seen it all and that's it for healing, that's it for changing, that's it for improving. And she said no. And that was great for me because that really opened me up to further possibilities of the Lord working in my life in a big way. I mean, I know the Lord works in my wet life in a small ways, but it made me more open to further healing for past hurts. It made me open to further understanding of things that I thought I knew, you know. It just, there's a way in which it says, the Lord is never done with us.
Isn't that a good thought? Hello? If there's anything to be said for that, it's that, you know, as I said earlier, he's always seeking us. He's not going to let go of us. He wants us with him for all eternity, with him in heaven. And I'm all for that. Whatever his plan is, I'm saying, okay.
Amen. So surrender to him. Just give him yourself. Say, and you know, a great prayer for surrender, you don't have to look it up on the internet. You don't have to look it up in a prayer book. All you have to say is, Jesus, I give you my all. Jesus, I surrender to you everything. Jesus, come into my life. Pour out your Holy Spirit. Amen. Period. Full stop. But then, fasten your seatbelts. Because the Lord answers that kind of prayer.
He does.
Right?
He does.
In a turbocharged manner, I should say. So the first two pointers, be filled with the Holy Spirit, stay close to Jesus. Tip number three, and that has really been what's kind of helped me also, is when I get distracted, what's my default setting? My default setting should be love for the people that I'm praying with. People who are in desperate need, people who are sick, people who need inner healing, people who need a great grace in their life for that day. Whatever it is, I think that the closer we align ourselves with Jesus' heart for these people, the closer I think we get to experience what God has for them. So to have God's heart is to acknowledge the biblical truth that there are people who are lost, who are in deep moral and spiritual darkness. It's a scary thing, especially when it's our children or it's our parents or it's our siblings or it's our friends, right? But part of the picture is saying, hey, I know this is politically incorrect, but in fact, you don't know the Lord. You need to know him better, right?
And I think we recognize that more and more, those that are living apart from God, and it weighs on our heart. I mean, we can hardly stand it because we don't want anyone to be lost. We don't want anyone to lose that connection, to be separated in any way. And so it becomes, you're on automatic. When you're with these people, either praying for them, being there, listening to them, encouraging them, whatever it may be, because we don't want anyone that feels as though that they don't have that relationship, that they don't have hope in the Lord, basically.
Mm-hmm. And one of the great obstacles to getting God's heart for the lost and the broken are our own self-defense mechanisms, are the things that we tell ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm not going to stand for that. Or I'm not that kind of person. Or,
well, you know who gets in our head all the time.
Right. And I think in our modern era, one of the biggest obstacles is indifference, passivity, apathy, that spirit that says, whatever, like whatever happens, I don't care, that kind of thing. Because I have my video game, I have my video here, I have my personal device. You know what I'm saying?
Or to delay it and put it off. Too, which I think is in the world today. Many people do that. I will do that. I'm going to, but it just never quite happens.
Well, like Augustine said, make me a saint, Lord, but not yet.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, deliver me from carnal desires, Lord, but not yet. I'm having too good a time now. Right. But so what that happens is we let go of our self-defense mechanisms, and our self-defense mechanisms are there to protect us against what? Hurt, disappointment, feeling things too deeply. Mm. So the minute you let go of that self-mechanism, all of a sudden you are feeling things deeply, maybe more deeply than you did before, and you're opening up your heart to the possibility that it will be broken. That's a hard thing.
Right.
You know, especially when some of us have spent our whole life developing self-defense mechanisms against hurtful loved ones, you know. But yet, I think what they're saying here is, in order to really pray effectively for them, we're going to have to get out of all that and try to acquire God's heart and be willing to suffer for them, even if it's through disappointment or through hurt or feeling hurt again. Fourth thing, ask, seek, and knock. For many people, basically, they don't have because they don't ask. And right. Many times, they don't have because they don't ask because they don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They don't know that they can have it. And there's nothing wrong in asking for great things from God for the sake of our mission to be Christ's witnesses to the world. I love Teresa of Avila says, you pay God a compliment by asking great things of him. And you know, that's true. You know, you pray for people, especially like come into prayer lines and they're like, oh, I don't want to bother the Almighty. I'm just going to ask this. Oh, and can I ask one more thing? I'm like, what? Seriously?
Yeah.
What, you think God is getting tired now?
Yeah.
Like, he hasn't heard it all. But I think the problem is not that we have expected too much of God, but that we expect too little.
Right. You kind of put it in that box, and we should.
And that for me, like, we're going to close out this program with this thought. For me, and you maybe you could share also, Mary Lou, a little bit. For me, that has been the biggest thing that has tinted my last 2 or 3 years is that I have not asked enough of God, that I have not, that I know that I'm gifted, that I know that I have all this other stuff, but I've been wanting more, but I didn't know if I should ask. And I have been set free to ask for more. I have been set free to be able to grow in prophetic insight. I've been set free to grow in the healing gifts. I have been set free to grow in the words of knowledge, to kind of just come on board and see what else God has for me, even now when I think that my life is in the back nine, you know,
right?
Maybe exactly. The back 18 or whatever, you know. What about you, Mary Lou?
Have you experienced that? I completely agree with you, and I mean, I will ask for the sun, moon, and stars, and see what he has in store for me, because he's the one in control. He knows what's best for me. I have to keep, you know, threading the needle, so to speak, to recognize that and to wait for his timing and whatever he has in store for me, which, as we all know, we have times of, you know, with any number of things where we feel very frustrated and, you know, I want this, Lord, I want this, Lord, and we just have to be patient. And, you know, I'm like the widow before the judge. I'm always, you know, begging for that. I'm going to pray unceasingly for these things. Mm-hmm. And in God's timing and in his way, I keep growing. I keep receiving. And
Amen. It's
never a disappointment if you just Amen. Stay on task. Stay on task.
Yeah, trust in the Lord. Commit all your ways to him. He will keep you safe. Thank you for joining us.
Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Hello and welcome to Real Living. This is Lavinia Spirita with Mary Lou Nemecek. We are wrapping up the series on the spiritual gifts on the book written by Randy Clark and Mary Healy, The Spiritual Gifts Handbook, Using Your Gifts to Build the Kingdom. And the book is published by Chosen Books, a division of the Baker Publishing Group. And it's quite the book. I would really recommend it. I know Mary Lou does too. We were summing up the final points of the book. Of now that we've read about the spiritual gifts, let's find out what they are. Let's activate them. That's huge. That's been huge. John Wimber used to say, faith is spelled R-I-S-K. Faith is spelled by going out and praying for somebody and expecting them to stand up and to hop, skip, and jump when before they could not walk. Faith is stepping out and asking, how is your pain? Has it diminished? What was it before? Is it less now? Oh, let's keep praying. You know, that kind of thing. Faith is taking somebody who is so, you know, okay, here's an example. This still blows my mind, okay? We have a good friend, you know her too, a lady who's had 5 bouts of cancer mm-hmm. in the past 20 years, right? 25 mm-hmm. years. 5 separate bouts, obviously probably the same thing that keeps cropping up, right? And she's had it all. She's had all the treatments, all the surgeries, all blah, 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 blah. And this last time, the 5th time, we prayed with her and she was riddled. I mean, she had tumors everywhere, tumors in her bones, tumors in all her organs, tumors everywhere. and talking about somebody being on the back nine. I mean, she basically, you know, looked like that. And I'm sure she was thinking that. So we just prayed and we just felt the Lord. So sometimes there's a way when you pray with somebody like that where you're saying, what am I doing? You know, this mm-hmm. person is riddled with cancer, and you kind of get your stinking thinking get in the way of God, right? But right. thankfully, thanks be to God, we were inspired to heal, to pray for healing, and to pray for physical healing right then and there. And there was a small group of us, and when you open up to God and you finally just get rid of looking stupid, you know, the fear of saying or doing something stupid.
The fear of failing.
The fear of saying, well,
it's
we
not
prayed
a
for you
to God.
And it didn't happen, and oh well, offer it up, you know.
Yeah.
Which is not to say that we shouldn't offer up all our sufferings, okay? But I think that there's a whole lot more people that are not healed because we don't pray for them.
Exactly.
And that's a very sobering thought. And so we prayed for this lady, and we just felt a very powerful. I mean, several of us had actually an inner picture of the tumors drying up and blowing away. All the tumors in her body drying up and blowing away. And the prayer was so powerful that there were a couple of things that she had not mentioned when she sat down, like the after effects of chemo, like she had mouth sores and the bottoms of her feet were very painful. And it wasn't until she got in the car that she realized that her mouth sores were gone and that her feet had no pain. And 6 weeks later, she sent us an email saying that all the tumors were gone except for one small one in one organ.
Yeah, that's just, it's amazing. It's just wonderful how God works.
That's, but what I'm saying is, that's faith. We had the faith to step into what we thought God was doing, to pray in a certain way and to believe in a certain way. But that comes from God.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
Faith is a gift of the Holy Spirit. It's a charism. But the way you receive it is by taking that first step. And then the Lord meets you, but you have to take that first 5% or 2.5% or whatever. So act on whatever faith we have, even if it's small. That has made a huge difference to me, I must say.
Yes.
What about you?
I concur. I know who you're talking about. And she's a very faith-filled person. And that's part of this, is to be open, to allow people to pray for you, to share with them, you know, what you really want when you're ill or have family issues or whatever it may be. It's that trust, the trust in those praying for you and the trust in the Holy Spirit.
Amen. And, you know, people ask young people or they ask, you know, organizations, Christian organizations, what's your mission statement? You know, what's your vocation? What do you want to do? And I think it's spelled out so clearly in Jesus' command in Luke, in Mark, and Matthew. Heal the sick, cast out demons, raise the dead. That should be what we put, oh, I want to be a doctor or lawyer. Okay, but your first vocation should be heal the sick, cast out demons, raise the dead, and be a great architect. You know, or a great husband and father, or a great, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That is our primary vocation. And as long as we remain stunned at even the possibility that God may heal the sick, cast out demons, and raise the dead through us, then we have a problem. So that's where the faith comes in, that God can do it. We can't do it, but God can do it.
And that's a great segue into number 6, do whatever he tells you, which goes back to the wedding feast at Cana, where Mary told them to do whatever he tells you, which they followed his instructions. And what happened? They had water that turned into fabulous wine. It was a first miracle. It was mm-hmm. it was a moment of you know, we have little except for that of what Mary is quoted in scripture, but it's all about him. It's all pointing to him. It's all saying, look to him, do what he tells you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Just mm-hmm. do it.
Amen. There's also a good example here in the wedding at Cana about how faith works.
Mm-hmm.
Because it talks about the servants. Basically, Jesus said, draw a ladleful out of this water jar and take it to the steward. He didn't say, this is going to be wine. He said, take a ladleful of what they thought was water and take it to the steward. So even in their own little themselves.
Right.
They took Jesus at his word and took the ladle to the, of water, of what they thought was water, right, to the steward. And so at some point, the wine, the water became wine. But it became wine after they took the ladle full of water.
Well, that's a good example of when you exercise your faith, you're also exercising obedience.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we all strive for, too. So.
So it's an act of obedient faith that opens up the way, I think, for miracles. So, for instance, I was sharing about how we prayed with this lady, and I felt literally two of us stood up and started raising our arms and kind of ushering in a wind. I mean, we felt like we were directing a wind, directing an air current or something with our arm, and we couldn't stop. I mean, once we started, I said, look, this is going to look stupid, but I just feel like this is what God wants for us to do. And we did, and it was such a powerful moment. We just felt the reality and the power of the Holy Spirit, and that was the session in which she was substantially healed. So there are many, many ways to do it. Another great example is the man at the gate, Beautiful, when he says in Acts 3, but also when Jesus tells the lame man in John 5, 8 through 9, when he says, get up, take your bed, and walk. And Peter and John say substantially the same thing to the crippled guy at the gate called Beautiful in Acts 3, right? Pick up, I don't have silver or gold, I have nothing to give you, but in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, take up your bed and walk. And he accompanied those words with a gesture. And I firmly believe that is when the miracle occurred, because it was faith on Peter's side to reach out and grab this guy and try to bring him up to his feet. But it was also faith on the guy being healed side, because he had to actually reach up and try to stand up when he knew that he was crippled.
Exactly.
So you have some pretty amazing faith going on there, right? So often the Holy Spirit gives us light impressions or promptings that we are tempted to ignore because they don't make sense. But I've been trying to train myself, even if it's don't drive down this street, drive down the other. Or if I have my chores, my errands in a certain order, if I feel like I should go here first and then, you know what I'm saying? I'm just trying to be obedient even to the lightest senses or impressions because I don't want to miss the Lord. And I might suggest that may be a great way to listen to God, listen to what he's telling you, but it's not generally through the Archangel Gabriel appearing in a blaze of fire. It's going to be a light prompting, right? Because God is always
like that. That's not going to happen.
He's always talking to us in the background if we will just shut up enough and listen. Point seven, know your authority in Christ. And that's, I think, a lot of Catholics. I think Protestants are better at this. Catholics are so shy and they're so timid and they're so fearful. Who has authority? Wait, me? Or like Miss Piggy would say, moi? You know, who, moi? But I thought it was Father, or I thought it was the bishop, or I thought it was sister. Yeah, of course all those people have innate authority. But we as well have authority. I've been praying a lot based on my authority given to me in my anointing as priest, prophet, and king in baptism and confirmation. And I think that's a good authority to stand by because it's given to us, not on our own, but from him. So we're meant to walk a kind of confident authority that comes from knowing who Jesus is. This kind of knowledge cannot come by study or learning or revelation from the Holy, but is only coming from the revelation of the Holy Spirit. So know your authority in Christ. That also helps when you're praying for people inner healing or deliverance or unbound or anything like that, where you're raising past hurts or you're trying to break the power of spiritual influences. You do it on the authority of Jesus Christ, but you dare to say the words on the authority that he has given you as daughter or son. Does that make sense?
Right. So we have to keep remembering that we are heirs of the kingdom. We are sons and daughters. We need to keep reminding ourselves of that.
That's right. What about point number eight, Mary Lou?
Oh, learning from others. This is a great point because, as you said earlier, you know, be around holy people. I find that the community that you circulate with, especially if it's related to praying over others, you know, the healing things that we go to, that's where you really learn. I'm very visual, so this helps me when I see things, when I see what people are doing, so that I can step in and take that risk and faith and do it myself. And learning from others is essential to this, because if we don't, then we're just going to stand in the corner and we're just going to watch the world go by and we're not going to participate. Mm-hmm. And so it's very important, and you, I know, have been really pushing this through various ways of people becoming more involved in the healing services and praying over others and activating the Holy Spirit that we have. You're stirring it up. And so in order for, as you described, that healing to take place, it took your group listening to the Holy Spirit, not being fearful to act out in a way that you felt like the Holy Spirit was directing you in gestures and prayers, and look what the result was. So.
And it's only because we are willing to look silly and we're willing to step out and do that R-I-S-K thing, right? I think also it's helpful to be around people who are experienced, and that's a good reason. That's why you and I went to see Randy Clark, for instance.
Right.
And we sat through at his feet, basically, about this, the healing seminar that he did recently. That's why I've gotten Dr. Mary Healy to come to Lexington several times, because of this, just the witness of seeing how gifts are exercised. And I think it's important in our reading. I think it's important what we see on YouTube. It's important what we see. You know what I'm saying? It's whatever we expose ourselves in. It's how we can grow in what God has for us and how we operate our faith to bring it about. So Randy Clark is very good about this. You know, obviously John Wimber is dead, but he has left behind YouTube videos and books that are unbelievable. Damien Stain, we've done a whole series. He's mm-hmm. a Catholic evangelist on kind of seeing how he does it. Matthias Thelen, Father Matthias Thelen, has founded a ministry called Encounter Ministries just for that whole purpose of raising people's awareness of the gifting of the Holy Spirit and how he heals. So those are just different areas in which we can, by the way, Encounter Ministries is coming to Lexington November 2nd and 3rd of 2018. So we're going to stay posted. We're going to talk more about that. So point number 9, use testimonies to stir up faith. And that is where I think Catholics really fall down on the job, because you'll have a word of knowledge. For instance, this happened to me several times. I know I've shared this with you. And I'll tell a group, hey, I feel like the Lord wants to heal somebody with, you know, somebody's right eye or somebody's left knee or somebody's third vertebrae or whatever. And Catholics are so shy, they just kind of cower in the pew. They don't raise their hands. And they don't, you know, and then afterwards they'll come up to you and say, you know, that was me. The right eye was me. And I'm like, well, why didn't you, you know? It's because it serves a function. When you raise your hand, it builds your faith, because you're like, holy cow, God is talking to me. And then it raises the faith of the person who's given the word, because they're saying, holy cow, God is talking to me, you know. And then at that point, you create that atmosphere of faith in which anything can happen.
Exactly.
And then when you're healed, when things do happen, it serves to give the word. It serves to give testimony. Randy Clark was sharing, remember, when he showed testimonies of people being healed in Brazil, he said people have gotten healed just by looking at those videos of other people getting healed.
Healed.
Mm-hmm. So God works. He works through the telephone. He works through the internet. He works through, you know, you don't just have to be there in person, is what we're trying
to
say.
There isn't one formula or one prayer. You have to be open.
That's right. The next obstacle is remove obstacles and misunderstandings.
This is very Catholic.
Right.
It's the sense that they are not worthy, that they do not deserve to be healed.
And the fact is, they're not worthy.
No one is.
Right.
Jesus
did not come, you know, Jesus came to create a field hospital, as Pope Francis says. He did not create to heal those who are already healed. He came to minister to those who needed it. So, you know, in Catholics, we have this idea that just accept your sickness and offer it up. But yes, there is a theology of redemptive suffering, and it is true that not a drop of suffering is wasted.
Right.
But like Mary Healy says, what would you think of a doctor who diagnosed a patient with a serious illness and then said, sorry, I'm not going to treat you, just offer it up?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Right? So I think that's the way we treat Jesus sometimes. Yeah.
We have to get out of that rut.
Right. And then there's also, unfortunately, there's also obstacles on the other side. Some people have a name and claim it thing. So whereby if I just do all these things, if I just jump through all these hoops, somehow God has to give it to me.
Mm-hmm.
But that's manipulating God, and God does not respond to manipulation, right?
No.
So we have to correct this mentality, helping people understand that God's gifts are truly gifts, not entitlements that we can demand on our own terms, because God knows we cannot heal anybody. Right?
Sure.
And we cannot get a word for somebody's life from anybody. Randy Clark says he wrote an entire book dedicated to identifying teachings and practices that either hinder faith or help create faith for healing. And I've read that book. It's called The Healing Breakthrough. And it's very helpful because he identifies most of the blocks that people have towards whether God can heal today, whether God answers prayer today. We're going to cut off our show today because I do not want to give short shrift to the remaining 2 points on activating our faith. So we will conclude them in our next show, and we thank you for joining us.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media. Find more about us at breadboxmedia.com.